Okay, so we're in our series of Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. If you've missed the past ones, don't worry. It's sort of on its own each year, can be understood on its own. It's definitely helpful if you know we build momentum from shir to shir, and some ideas will be recurring, but it's not necessary. So what we're going to do today is, if you remember, I just erased it, but what we did last week is we... What did we do last week? Somebody else tell me.
We went through all the different
Okay, so last week we went through every single instance that the word Ahav is used in the five books of Moses to see the different usages. And we had five different types of love or contexts of love that we found. Who remembers the five? Okay, love of food, okay. Love of... Love of... He started with love of food. That was the most important one. Love of food, man and man. And under that, we had a lot of different examples, subcategories of man and woman, man and child, yeah. Man and God. God and man. Well, neighbor was... Right, so neighbor was with between man and somebody else. And between man and somebody else, we had different categories. We had man and woman, man and child, man and fellow, man and agar, man and God, God and man. And then at the end, you said man and self, because inherent in Vahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, love your fellow like you love yourself, is that you have to love yourself. That at least in theory you should love yourself. Okay, so those were the five. What we're going to do today, if you remember at the end of this year, we sort of brought up this topic of, based on these five categories, can't we give one broad definition of what love in the Torah means? Or is it just five sort of subcategories? Because it's very different to say that I love food, I love God, I love my wife. I use the same word, and the Torah does the same thing, uses the same word, to seemingly, does it mean the same thing or does it mean something different? So we weren't really sure about that. And we proposed that maybe there are different types of love, different forms of love. We discussed love, if you remember that, it's in your handout, but we won't look through it now. Love between somebody and something that he nurtures. So you feel love, but that was the parent to child love, you feel love towards something or somebody that you nurture. You have the flip of somebody who is nurtured feels the love of the person who is nurturing him, which we said is not found explicitly in Tanakh in the sense of child loving parent. It never says anywhere that a child loved a parent. But in theory, it's possible that that could be part of the love of, as a prototype of somebody loving something that provides for them, and that could really be understood, why do you love God? So one of the reasons you love God is because he provides for us. So that was the relationship. Okay, so what I want to do today, and we hinted towards this, we started this discussion at the end of last week, is to try to give a broad definition of what love is. A broad definition within, perhaps, maybe we'll see it in that this is one theory, a psychological theory. We'll see maybe it fits into the Torah's theory of love as well. What, to be honest from the beginning, is that anytime you have a theory, there are usually other theories also. So we're presenting one theory, not all theories. So people disagree with this theory in terms of the, you know, psychology, and in probably people will disagree with the Torah theory that we're going to approach also, and there are a number of theories that could be presented. We are just presenting one. So that's where we're jumping in here. Love and expansion of the self. Okay, so again, if you weren't here last week and you didn't follow that really quick recap of last week, don't worry about it, because it's not that important to what we're doing today. So love and expansion of the self. This is taken from Aaron and Aaron. From 1996, their theory, we're just going to read the abstract, maybe later we'll go into more detail into the theory, but their explanation of love is called the self-expansion model. So just reading that abstract where I boxed it off over there. The self-expansion model of love developed out of a confluence of research on attraction and arousal Eastern psychology, motivation theory, and the social psychology of personal relationships. Don't worry if you don't know what all those things are. The model treats love, the desire for a relationship with a particular other, as arising from a desire to expand the self by including the other in the self, as well as by associating expansion with that particular other. So basically, love is expanding your view of yourself to include another person. So just, we take our nice board that we now have. So this is, let's say, this is me, self. This is other. I'll give him another bubble. And now, what we're doing is we are erasing you over here and overlapping to include the other. Okay? So the love you feel for yourself is now included in that love that you feel for the other. If you think about this for a second, so what does that mean about my love of the other?
Same as yourself.
So same as yourself, but
it's still separate.
Okay, I'm not sure if it's still separate. Well, that could be debated. But there's something incredibly selfish about this.
It's giving you something.
Right.
It's your world.
Right, but it's giving you, meaning the love that you feel for this other person is really love you feel for yourself. So we'll have to see how that plays out, if this is really just my love of you is
it's
really just because I love myself. That's not what v'ahavta l'recha kamocha necessarily means. Love your fellow like you love yourself doesn't necessarily mean love your fellow. When you love your fellow, you're really loving yourself. But according to this model, that seems to be what's happening. So we'll have to see. They address this. And we'll see what they say towards the end. But what I want to do before we get back to their model is jump into the, you know, flip, literally just flip your page, where it says, Hakdam L'Sefer Shari Yosher. So this is the introduction to the book Shari Yosher by Rav Shimon Yehuda Cohen Shkup. Shari Yosher is an incredibly detailed, analytic, complicated analysis of Talmudic topics, which would go over my head and probably all of ours if we just, you know, delved into a piece in the Shari Yosher. Good for us, we're not doing that. We're just looking at his introduction, which is not that, it's very interesting, but it's not so complicated. So I luckily found, one second, I found the translation by Micah Berger, Micha Berger, in online, just a simple Google search. So you have the Hebrew here and you have the translated English. We'll be going through this in relative detail in a moment after a question.
This person's a contemporary or from some...
So Shimon Shkup lived in the early 20th century. He is no longer living. That's what the ZTL is, Zatzal. Not exactly sure exactly what year he passed away. But yeah. So he is contemporary in the sense that this is not a, you know, a medieval explanation, or this is not a person in the Gemara. This is, you know, much later. That being said, that's a fair point. We want to see what his primary sources are. What is he quoting? What's the argument that he's making? And whether or not that gets back into our question, when you're developing a theory or a thesis, so others can argue with you depending on, you know, where your jumps are, where you have, you know, base texts that you're drawing from, and are you sort of using them in a direction that may or may not have been intended by the original author of those comments. So we'll get to that, but I want to just look at it without, you know, questioning it. I want to just understand it first. So he quotes here, and there's a bunch of pages. Again, you have the English you could follow. I highlighted, I underlined some of the more important points, both in the Hebrew and the English. We'll track basically through those highlighted points is going to be the main points that we're taking away from each of these paragraphs. So he starts off. So he starts off by saying that God created us in his image, and he gave us eternal life, so that our greatest desire should be to do good to others. Okay? That's a very important point, right? Our greatest desire should be to do good to others, underlined, exactly. To individuals and to the masses. Now and in the future, in imitation of the Creator, for everything he created and formed was according to his will, only to be good to the creations. That's v'halachta b'drachav, to walk in God's ways. We're imitating God. Haynu sh'niya anachnu b'chirei yitzurav, so that we should walk in His ways. We should select of what He made. Should constantly hold as our purpose to sanctify our physical and spiritual powers for the good of the many according to our abilities. Right? Our goal in life is to do good for others. This is an important concept. We're still not at our main point yet, but flip the page. So now they're numbered. So if you flip, you'll see it says 2 on the bottom. Okay, so it's a little bit easier to follow now. You with me? Everybody's good?
Yeah.
Okay. Uladaati kol inyan zeh nechlab mitzvas Hashem shel kedoshim tiyu. So now, he's about to expound on the mitzvah of kedoshim tiyu. What's the mitzvah of kedoshim tiyu?
Holiness.
To be holy. What does that mean, to be holy? What does it mean?
Follow God's commandments.
Do the will of God.
Separate.
Be separate. Okay, kedoshim, you know, is often translated and explained as being separate, and we'll see he actually addresses
not
that.
Not to sin, not to act sinfully.
Not to sin. Okay, so it's a broad, don't do bad things type of concept. So we'll see how he's going to quote the Ramban. There's a famous Ramban on this subject, and he's going to disagree with how the Ramban understands it. So Kedoshim Tiyu, he says, be holy. So he says, the Medrash, this is a fascinating Medrash. Dehine b'medrash v'yikra, the Pasuk says, Yachol Kamoni. Maybe you're going to think that when it says be holy, it means to be just as holy as God. Maybe that's what you'll think. It's a fascinating thought. Be just as holy as God. Therefore, he says, Tam Aloma, the Medrash says, ki kadosh ani, kedushasi lemaila mikedushaschem. The Pasuk ends off as, because I am holy. The Medrash understands that God is telling us, is reinforcing to us, that I am holier than you. What does this mean? This is you know, a relatively, you know, this is a puzzle. What is it? What exactly is this Medrash trying to teach us?
Don't expect to be as holy as me. Now, don't try to.
You thought you would be as holy as God?
No. People are saying, be as holy as me. Tell, don't worry. Whatever you do is fine. Don't
whatever you do is fine. I don't know about that.
Be honest. You're never
going to
get to my level.
The
you're not going
to
reach that level.
You're not going to reach that level.
Because you are a creation of God.
Okay, but just to take a step back. Who would ever have thought this? That you would be as holy as God. That's a fascinating habamin. It's a fascinating
thing to strive for.
Okay, something to strive for. Okay, so all right. So let's see what he says here. Okay, let's, yes. Okay. Okay. So let's see what he says here. So the Ramban quotes here says that he quotes the kedoshim to you, prushim to you, like you said before, to be separate. Ramban perusha haTorah herich levar inyan prishu semer mitzvah zu shulis rachek min hanos v'tanugos esem. So Ramban understands this mitzvah as separating from physical pleasures, even things that are allowed. I'm allowed to eat kosher food, but I shouldn't be eating food all day. Right? You shouldn't be a glutton. The Ramban's language famously is to be a novel perusha haTorah. That you are being disgusting within the realm of what's actually permitted. In theory, this is permitted to you, but you're going too far. You're doing too much. You're doing too much physical pleasure, even though it's technically, you can't find a specific aveira. The Ramban's saying, but that's against kedoshim to you. To be holy, to be separate, not to do things that excessive comfort and pleasure. Okay, next paragraph. So, Valpiza Lachora Diver and Medrash Ana Mubanim. So he's taking, if you understand Kedoshim Tiyu as being, meaning, be separate from eating too much, the Medrash doesn't make any sense. Ech Shayach Binyan Precious List Damos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shalzei Shmianu HaKatsub Shalok Ken Ritzon Yisbarach. Right, getting back to that Medrash, it says maybe you'll think that you're as holy as God, therefore I have to tell you you're not. So if you put that in the realm of food and excessive pleasures, what does that even mean? You might have thought that you are as holy as God, and God stays away from excessive pleasures. You might think you can stay away from excessive pleasures just as much as God, so the Medrash has to tell you, no, you can't. What do we think that God has a problem staying away from excessive pleasures? What does that even mean? Why would you think that? That you would have to tell me that he doesn't. Right? It's just that the context doesn't make any sense.
If you think
God is everywhere. He's in fact every little, even the smallest little pebbles is God's realm. So how can you say he wants something? He has everything.
Okay, that's good. I don't even think you have to go that far. I mean, that's true, but even just like, what is that? So God really wanted this donut, but he held himself back, right? Don't think you can do that, though, you know?
We shouldn't subscribe human emotions to God, too. Like, he loves us. That's not like we love somebody else.
Right. Okay, but still, again, the Medrash is going out of its way to say, don't think you could be as holy as God. If the Rosh Hashanah is saying is that if this whole concept is based on staying away from excessive pleasures, the comparison to God doesn't really make that much sense. Okay, so he says, says more of a problem. Why does it say kedushasi lamayla mikdushaschem that I am holier than you? The underline now. If we say in the English the underline, if we say that the essential idea of the holiness he demands of us, the mitzvah to be holy, is distance from the permissible, that kind of holiness has nothing to do with him. There's no context to that statement. Okay, so he says, I don't know if this Ramban is going to explain this mitzvah based on this Medrash. This Medrash doesn't make sense according to this understanding. Okay, so now flip again. We're not turning the page, you're flipping. So we're on page 3 now. So he says, therefore I'm going to give you a new understanding of this mitzvah. Lachen nir alafiha nios daiti, shebe mitzvah zu kolul, kol yisod v'shorish magamas tachlis chayin. Now he's going to say, this mitzvah is the entire purpose of our existence. This mitzvah of Kedoshim Tiyu is the end-all of what we're supposed to be doing in this world. Shiyu kol avodasenu ve'amalenu tamid mukdashim litovas haklal. Everything that we do should be for the purpose of bettering the community. Okay? Doing good for the community. Shelo nishtamesh b'shum maisa v'tnua hana v'tainug. We shouldn't do anything in this world if it's not going to benefit somebody else. Of helping another. Right. You shouldn't do anything that is completely, the whole purpose is for yourself. Everything you should be doing should, to some extent, be for the purpose of benefiting somebody else. We'll see what he's going to do in a second. But yeah.
If you benefit incidentally, I guess you'd say fine, but the primary motive...
Right, right. And you'll see he's actually going to... This is an extreme statement. You'll see what he's about to do is going to make it a little bit more down to earth. But again, it's going to be a fascinating analysis right now. We can move on. So what does kadosh mean? What did you say before? What does kadosh mean?
Holy.
So holy, but to be separate, right? So here you're separating... You are designating all of your actions to the benefit of another person. That's what kedusha means, according to his understanding. V'hine, kishaha adam miyasher halichosav v'shoef shetamid yudarchei chayav mukdashim la'klal. So when you orient yourself that everything you are doing is for the betterment of society, az kol ma she'ose gam la'atzmo la'havra'as gufo v'nafsho hu misyaches gam kein el mitzvah kedusha. Here's his step. He says, now, if your goal, if your purpose, if your mission statement in life is to benefit somebody else, when you do something that benefits yourself, you're also helping that other person. Right? Self-care, if the end goal is not for yourself, is actually helping the other person. You need to be able to take care of yourself before you take care of somebody else.
Is there, like, the whole is some of its parts, like in geometry.
So, and we'll get to this in a second, but his point is that, I mean, let's say, I need to do exercise. If I don't do exercise, you know, I'm going to not have as long of a life as I should have, and I'm not going to be able to take care of people as much as I should have. If I don't take this vacation now, I am going to burn out, right? So, if that's true, then my vacation, in theory, who am I helping on my vacation? I go on a vacation by myself, with nobody else, I sit in isolation and there's nobody else there. I don't do one bein adam l'chaveru mitzvah for an entire week. But my goal is that when I come back, I am going to go back on my job of helping other people. That week of taking care of myself is taking care of others.
According to him, the converse would also apply. If I don't take care of myself,
then they can't help to take care of me.
Right, right, yeah.
This is all in the category of love between...
Well, he hasn't mentioned anything about love yet.
Oh, okay.
So we didn't get to love. I mean, it's a good point. But that's if you remember, we started with Kedosh and Tiyu. So I sort of tricked you. I should have transitioned a little bit better. But we started with love, and he hasn't mentioned anything about love. He's mentioned about just doing good for others. That love is involved in that, in theory, but he hasn't mentioned that yet. Okay? So now. Right? I'm going to eat lunch. So I need to eat lunch. Why? Because I have to take care of myself. But I have to take care of myself because I have to take care of you. So my taking care of myself is also taking care of you. Aval imhu nana hanam in sug hamosario she'ena drusho slavrav skupo v'nafsho hanazu hi neged akdusha shebezehu meitiv la'atzmo l'regula fi dimyono v'luzulaso ein shum toelis. Okay, so this is true, but when I go to the smorgasbord and I have, you know, a little bit of everything as I'm going around the room, so do I really need that to help somebody else? Or is that for my own benefit? So that's for my own benefit. Now, you could argue that sometimes, again, that your own benefit and that some delight in some gashmias could help you with ruchnias and with helping other people. That's true, and that's basically dependent on each person. But at some point, I'm sure we've all done this, where even if we have in theory a mission statement of helping others, we do something for ourselves that we didn't really need to help somebody else. And according to him, that would be... against this principle of Kedoshim Tiyu. Because Kedoshim Tiyu is don't do excess for yourself if it's not needed to help others. Okay? So now, next paragraph. V'alpi derech zeh, inyan mitzvah shal prishus, hu tamsis miyisod mitzvahs kedusha, hanikeres b'po'a b'darchei anaga shal ha'adam, aval b'ra'ayon v'shi'ifos haruach, misracheves matzod. So in this way, the concept of separation is a consequence of the underlying basis of the mitzvah of holiness, which is recognizable in practice in the way a person acts. And he's basically saying that, just skipping to the end of this paragraph in the English, in relation to this, this holiness is comparable to the holiness of the Creator in whatever little similarity. Now he gets back to that medrash. That medrash just said, maybe you'll be like God. What do you mean, maybe you'll be like God? God's going to eat the little hot dogs at the smorgasbord that you have to tell me that you can't be as holy as God? So he says, just as the act of the Holy One in all of creation and in each and every moment that he continues to cause the universe to exist, all his actions are sanctified to the good of others. So too it is his will that our actions be constantly sanctified to the good of the community and not personal benefit. Okay? So that's what really should be striving to. Just like God is all doing for others, so too, we, Kedoshim Tiyu, be everything you do is for others. But now what does the Medrash say? Now we turn the page. So we're on page 4. Right? But remember, again, this is we had two parts of the Medrash. You have Kedoshim Tiyu, be holy, and then the Medrash says, maybe you'll be like God, therefore don't think you're going to be like God. So now fit that into his paradigm now. Be holy like God, do everything for others, then what? Okay, but again, the havamina, the original thought, the original presumption was that I am going to be just as holy as God. What does holy for God mean? Doing completely for others. So now what does the Medrash say? Maybe you'll think that you'll be just as holy as God, that just like God does everything for others, so too I am going to do everything for others. Therefore, the Medrash says what? No, you can't. Okay? However, Amnam, im yomar adam lachnia es tivo lagia lemidi yaseira ad shelo yeh benavsho shum machshava v'shiifa lehetiv atzmo. If you think that you're going to be like God in the sense that everything you do, everything you think about, every action you take is for the purposes of helping somebody else, v'chol shiifaso yurak lehetiv lacherim, v'open kezet yeh shiifaso lagia l'kdushas habor yisbach, I'm going to be like God. That everything I'm doing is going to be for the purposes of helping somebody else. Maybe I could have made the argument. This is my purpose in life, to be just like God, to do everything for other people. That's my goal. He says, no. End of this, the underline at the end of this paragraph. We cannot try to be similar to His Holiness in this respect. We cannot go that far, and that should not be our goal. Next paragraph. God is holier than us. Again, it's a simple statement, but that's what the Medrash says. God doesn't care about Himself. He cares about helping others. He doesn't get any benefit from what He does. His whole goal is to help others. What He wants from us in this mitzvah of Kedoshim to you is not to that extent, is not to that level. So He brings in a principle now. This principle will be important in future shirim. Chayecha kodmim. Whose life comes first, you or your friends? Yours. So if you have, right, Rabbi Akiva's famous case, he has a machlokas on this with somebody else, but he says that if you have one jug of water and you're stranded in the desert, and there's only enough water to save one person, who gets that water?
You.
Yourself. Chayecha kodmim. You come first. So if you're thinking, wait a second, if my goal is just to help other people, and I don't care about myself, then maybe I should give the water to Him. I don't care about myself. I care about Him. That's my goal in life. No, Chayecha Kodmin, you come first. You're not like God. God does everything for everybody else. You are not, you have a limit. You have to worry about yourself first.
What does God get out of this? I mean, he premises that God does things for His creation. But why? I mean, what is
why? Because He wants to do good.
But I mean, what does He go out of this way to do?
I hear the question. It's beyond the scope for now. I mean, it's a great question of Jewish philosophy of why did God create the world? I hear, and it's relevant, but it's beyond the scope for now. Yeah.
That gets a little dicey if the other is your kid.
Oh, okay. So that's a good question. Let's say the other person is your kid, right? Do I have the right to give him that bottle of water? Do I have that right?
It's the same as flying on a plane. What do they tell you? If the pressure goes down, you put the mask on your face before you put on your kid.
Ooh.
Same thing here.
Oh, really? Oh, there you go. They're following Rabbi Akiva.
You're not going to survive. Your kid is not going to survive.
Ah.
They're following Rabbi Akiva over here. Okay, fair point.
About the Jews were captive and the enemy says, look, give us one.
Okay, that's it, right? Okay, so if you get give us one person and we'll save the entire, right? So there's a whole discussion about whether or not you're allowed to hand over that one person. Okay, but again, that's... Hold on. Did you cheat?
Oh, it's real. I didn't look.
Jake, I don't know about this. Okay. Well, we'll get there. You just ruined the punchline.
I'm sorry.
No, good. Okay, so... So Rabbi Akiva says, who comes first? You come first. Chayecha Kodmin. And we'll see that's going to be important in later shirim. V'gam ramzu lanu lefarish es hamikra. Here he brings in love. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Love your fellow like yourself. So he quotes here what we said in our first shir, that it's a negative. B'derach shlili. Ma da'aloch sani l'chaverch lo savid. What you do not like, this is yours, Phil. What does that mean? My da'aloch sani l'chaverch lo savid. What is good... What is what your friend doesn't like, what you don't like, don't do to your friend, right? So it's in the negative. It's not do to your friend what he likes or what you like. It's don't do to your friend what you don't like. So he's assuming here that the reason for that is, because in terms of taking care of yourself, you have to come first, right? There's a limit, seems to be what he's saying, there's a limit to v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha that it doesn't necessarily mean do for your friend as much as you would do for yourself. That's not true. And God would never tell us to do that. Because Kedoshim Tiyu teaches us that yes, do for your friend, but remember that God is the only one who does everything altruistically without any benefit for Himself. You have to take care of yourself first and then you take care of your friend. So v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, for sure you can't hurt your friend, but in terms of really giving, do I have to give my friend the water if I'm going to die? No. Chayecha kodmin. because I come first before my friend. Okay, and we'll see that later on in the Ramban. So next paragraph.
And in Hillel is also a negative. Do not do.
That's the my Dalach son of the Chavrach Losavid. That's the Hillel, standing on one foot. That's a quote from that Gemara. Okay, next paragraph. Yod yesh makom should be esod brias adam nita haboris baruch bo teshukas ahabas atzmo b'mid the gedola. What does he say? We all have an ego. God implanted within us on purpose a love of ourselves. A great measure of propensity to love himself. Sharei amru chachmei ha'emes b'mataras kol avodah b'zeh ha'lashon. Ratzah ha'ein sof baruch hu liyos meitiv ha'tava shleima shlei ha'filu boshes ha'mekablim. Ad kam lashon klach pischei chachma v'inya zem mabil sha'ad hecha magia koach avas atzmo sh'rotza adem mekab shlo yosem mekabin sh'natin lo af miyad ha'kadosh baruch hu miyem ha'tanas chinam. So this gets back into why God created the world and some Kabbalistic concepts here. I don't want to get too much into it. But the point is that he's saying that God, and we could do a whole shiur onto this, is that we do have an ego. God wants us to love ourselves and to prefer ourselves. Right? We would rather eat from our own work, right, from our own paycheck, than get tzedakah, because it feels good when we do it ourselves. Okay? So we do have an ego. Okay, flip. Now you're flipping to page 6. You're not turning the page, you're just flipping. So we skip page 5. We're in page 6. Okay? Okay, skip to the second paragraph. Okay? You see it? I have it boxed off for you. Vihine. In Bahashkafa Rishona Riksha Havas Atmo Riksha Havasulaso Hinkitsaros Zulazu Avalalim Lishtadala Hamik Bazelim So Askula Hama Achedas Osam Achare Kishneam Doresh Hashem Mitano. So now we have a problem. Because we have a feeling of love for ourselves and a feeling of love for others. So he says they're like competing, they're competing against each other. So now we have to figure out, how do we deal with this? Do I love myself? Do I love others? How do we deal with those competing forces? So we need to understand what our ani is, what our I is, what is the me. Okay. Ha'ish, next paragraph. Ha'ish ha'gas v'ashafel kol ani shalo mitzumtzam rak v'chomro v'gufo. So somebody who is a low person, doesn't have a high spirituality, let's say, he's a coarse and lowly person, is restricted only to his substance and body. So there's somebody above this person who's just worried about his own body, is somebody who understands that there's a nefesh, there's a body and a soul. There's somebody on top of that. So now, above this person is someone who can include in his ani, in his I, all of his household, all of his family. And somebody, the highest purpose, is somebody who can include the entire Jewish people in his self. So you have here my ani. This is me. Who is me? Right? So I can have just the me, the lowest level. I can have a circle outside of that. What was the next one? Nefesh and guf. Okay. And then you have outside of that, you have family. And then outside of that, what did you have? Klal Yisrael, the whole Jewish people. So how do you define yourself? What's your ani? Is it just you? Or are you expanding some spirituality in the you? Are you expanding your family in the definition of you? Are you expanding the whole Jewish people in the definition of you? Right? And what does this remind us of? Even though I just erase it. Here's myself. And here's my other. How do I define myself? Is myself this whole box? Or is it just this little thing in the middle? Right? Is the expansion of the self to include others. Okay, keep going. Yeah. We're not done yet, so if it's not perfectly clear, we can wait to the end. But
I'm just wondering about another circle outside of that one.
Yes, let's hear it.
The entire human
well, the nation,
community.
The
world.
Okay, so, okay, good. So let's put humanity.
Humanity.
We can do even more.
Animals, the pita.
Okay,
the
let's go.
Universe.
Let's put the universe.
Right.
Somewhere here we should put Hashem. Maybe that's this nefesh and guf. But yeah, how expansive is your ani? And perhaps, this is a little bit beyond the scope, the more and more you expand it, and this is what some people argue, meaning let's say universe. So the more I expand to the universe, the more I might end up forgetting these people down here. Right? And I might, you know, what do they say about, I think Hitler was a vegetarian because he cared about the animals. Right? So not that that's, you know, not that all vegetarian, whatever. I'm not even going to say it. But the point is that at some point if you keep, you know, you could lose your priorities. Okay, but again, a different shoe. Okay, I think we did a vegetarian shoe. We did a live and learn back in the day on vegetarianism. Okay, so now, next paragraph. V'od, yesh b'zeh, here we go, he says it explicitly. V'od, yesh b'zeh ma'alo shel ish ha-shalem ra'oi la'shrish b'nafsho la'hargish shekol ha'olamos kulam hu ha'ani shelo. Right? The entire world should be included in his ani. V'hu ba'atzmo rak ke'ever katan b'toch ha'briya kulo. You are just one part of the whole. V'az gam regesh ha'avas atzmo ozer lo le'o v'az kol ha'am yisrael v'az kol ha'briya kulo. Right? You're right. He says it explicitly. All of creation should be in there. Now we're turning. Not flipping, we're turning. This is our last page, page 7. Okay, Jake, this is your time to shine. Uladati mirumaz inyan zeh b'ma'amaro shel Hillel. He says, I think this is exactly what Hillel's point is. Im ein ani li mi li ukashani la'atzmi ma'ani. If I'm not for myself, then who am I for? And if I'm only for myself, then who am I? Hainu shiroi l'kol adam l'hit ametz l'dog tamid baratzmo. What's your goal? You have to worry about the imenani li mili. I have to be for myself. I have to worry about my inner circle over here. But if aval im ze yitametz lavin shani latzmo mad ani sheim yitzamtzem et ani shelo b'chug tzar kefi mar et ayin. So if you define your ani as just you in a narrow vision, in a narrow definition, az ani ze mahu. What's the point of that? If your ani is only you, kshani la'atzmi, when I'm only for me, then what's the point? What are you doing? Hevel hu uve'ein nechshav. It's ridiculous. It's like nothing. Aval im tiyeh hargashaso me'umetes sheklalos habriya. Who are Adam Agadol? Who gam ken ke'ever katan beguf Agadol azeh? As Ram v'nisa gam erchohu shebimechona gedola gam misamer yoser katan imrak mishamesh klum lahamechona who davar chashuv ma'od shaklal begoy mipratim ve'ein bechal ela mashe bepras. Gets back into your part of a part and the whole. Our goal is to be one cog in the bigger picture. And that's what we are. If I only define myself as myself, right? I have to take care of myself. But if I'm only going to define myself as this, if I'm not going to include the other, if I'm not going to include my family, if I'm not going to include Klal Yisrael or humanity or the universe, then Shani Latzmi Mani. What's the point of this? Right? Just erase it. You're not important. Your goal in life is to help others. In order to help others, you have to take care of yourself. You have to then expand this. According to what Shimon Shkup is saying, he is defining, it seems to me, this expansion model of the self as what love is to Hillel's statement.
So right. It would seem to be a strong me, rounded me, can expand.
Mm-hmm.
Include something.
When I have a core self, yeah. Of a healthy core self, I can then expand it to include others. If I don't have a healthy core self, then I'm going to have a hard time expanding it to others. I'm going to have a hard time making real relationships and helping other people.
It applies geopolitically to nations as it relates to the rest of the world. Isolationist, as it relates how U.S. vis-a-vis the rest of the world.
Right, right. You have to take care of your country first before you go helping other people.
What's the difference? It's like expansion of different sizes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. Contrary to this, this model can fit other things as well.
Follows the same principle.
Exactly.
Okay, so this is, I mean, he continues a little bit more, and I even cut, he has five more pages on this, but that's the main point of this Rosh Hashanah. I think it's a fascinating, it's a beautiful idea. And it all is really summed up in that statement of Hillel according to his understanding. I have to take care of myself. But if I define myself as just myself and not including, and I don't expand it, my definition of self to include others, then mani, what's my purpose? What's my point? Okay? So now, go to the supplement you have. Yeah, it's one page. Sorry, it's one page double-sided. I have it two pages, but it's one page double-sided. Okay? So what you have here is a photocopy from two separate articles. One of them is titled, Is Empathy-Induced Helping Due to Self-Other Merging? And the other is not titled. Okay? The other one that's not titled is from that other article that I quoted to you before that you saw as love as expansion of the self that you have in your booklet. So this is a photocopy from within that. And again, the other one is a different article. So what I want to do is look at, first do the one that has the title. Is empathy-induced helping due to self-other merging? Okay, so here their question, they have this concept of self-other merging, which is really this, how do I define myself? Do I include others in the self? And they want to know, their topic here, we're not going to get into too much detail in terms of what they are looking for, but we're going to take their introduction to bring out some extra points over here that I think could complement our discussion, is they want to know is that when I help somebody else, so if I feel empathy for somebody else and I help them because of that empathy, so what is really going on there, right? If there's a self-other merge, how does empathy, basically their question is, how does empathy and helping fit into this discussion of self-other merging? Okay, again, we're not going to get into all that detail, but we'll read a little bit of it. I'm going to wipe the board clean to use so we can use it for this discussion. Okay, so you're with me here? You see here I have 1, 2, and 3. 1, 2, and then 3 on the bottom here. So he's about to give, I think, three very interesting understandings of this self-other merge. Okay, so here. And the two shall become one. So is merging of self and other into a psychological one the reason that empathy increases helping? A number of social psychologists seem to think so, generally adopting one of two lines of argument, and we'll see in the footnote, it's actually three. Either they claim, number one, that empathy involves identification of self with the other. So let's write this down. Identification of self with other. Number two. And we'll elaborate on this in a second. Number two, or they claim that the other for whom empathy is felt becomes included in self. So included in self. Number three, if you look in the footnote there where I put three, a third view based on Turner's self-categorization theory is that the individual self and other become interchangeable components of a group-level self when categorization occurs at that level. So this is interesting for us, because you have a group-level self, which I think fits within a concept, at least in terms of Ba'atzlurecha Kamocha, if you define that as a specifically Jewish concept. So meaning, the more you... It's not that necessarily that I'm going to identify with an individual, which is important, but think about Ba'atzlurecha Kamocha. Is it just people I know? We haven't dealt with it exclusively. It's in theory, again, assuming Lurecha means Ahavas Yisrael to Jews, which we haven't fully elaborated on yet. Maybe some will expand it to others, even non-Jews as well. But if it means all Jews, so what about that guy who I've never met before in Eretz Yisrael? Right? When we hear sad news or good news or whatever in Eretz Yisrael, so we identify with that. Do I know that guy? So why do I identify with that? Because he's a Jew. So you could argue it's just self with other, that it doesn't matter who it is, Jew, not Jew, doesn't matter. If I hear somebody else getting hurt, in theory I can feel empathy for them because I'm identifying with that person. And if this is true, so the more I identify with that person, perhaps the more I'll feel empathy for them. You have inclusion of the self, inclusion of other within the self, which is a little bit different. Here, identification of self with others, and I'm not, that person's not me. I know he's not me. I just identify with him. Here, it's that person is now within my self-definition, sort of what we were talking about before. Group level self gives us another possibility here, that even if I don't identify self with other, but as a group, I'm going to identify with that person. Okay, so that's group level self. Okay, again, if you don't remember all these or fully understand them, this you can take this home and understand, read it. But those are our three main categories. So now, go to... I don't want to spend too much on this, I'm going to have to go in a few minutes, but let's see over here. You see where it says, as P, it's bracketed off. He's quoting here Aaron and Aaron, which is the thing we're about to see in a second. It says, so as P person includes more and more aspects of all, you see it or no? Right here. It's a little small, I'm sorry. You can't see. I'm going to read it all out. As P person includes more and more aspects of other into person self, person becomes in a sense, comes in a sense to include other, not just aspects of other, into person self. That is, person feels as much or nearly as much satisfaction when other is satisfied or pain when other is hurt as person would if these had happened to person. Person plans for others' happiness and welfare as if it were person's. If it were persons. Person identifies with other, or is even, in some sense, united with other. So I am including, I am expanding myself to include this other person. Go flip the page. I think this will be a little bit clearer. And it's also going to address that point of the selfishness in this. Right? So now, again, that's our question from before. If it's just that I am expanding myself to include others, so isn't that selfish? Am I helping myself, or am I helping others? So from Shimon Shkup's perspective, which you just read, it's not selfish. My whole point is to help others. I have to take care of myself in order that I can help others. But notice how they're somewhat bothered by this, by the first bracket on the left side. To return to the issue of the self-centeredness implied by self-expansion, we emphasize that before entering the relationship, it may be that a person's main motivation, consciously or unconsciously, is to gain and enjoy the other's perspectives, resources, and so forth. So it is somewhat, selfish. Metaphorically, one hopes to have the use of everything in the other's house as well as in his own. But, here's the important switch that they make. After forming a close relationship, however, cognitively, what happens, as the research suggests, is that each includes the other in each other's self. The houses are joined, and what happens to yours, now ours, is as important to me as what happens to mine. What may have begun as self-centeredness has become altruistic. Right? So your motivation to get into this is to expand the self. You want to, it's self-centered, it's self-fulfilling. You want to fulfill your own desire, so you're getting into a close relationship with somebody. But that's the shelo lishma. That's the stuff that you're doing not for the sake of the other. But they're saying that at some point, it evolves to the lishma. That's a famous concept, mitoch shelo lishma ba lishma. You start doing something, even if you don't have proper motivation, by doing that, eventually it will evolve to proper motivation. They're saying that's what's happening with close relationships. When you start dating, so you're not dating the other person as you start to help that other person. You want something good for yourself. You want to find a good mate who will help you develop a good life and do good things for you, etc., etc. Hopefully, as your love evolves after 50 years or so, then you will expand that other person, and that other person will expand themselves, and you're just one big whole, and now it's a we. So that self-centeredness that started it now expands to include everybody.
Well, that would be like the start. If
life. Right, so the behavioral activation, right? So start shelo lishma, start, do something even if you don't feel it, and then eventually you'll feel it. So it's a little bit different, but it's the same core concept. So again, from Rav Shimon Shkup's perspective, your starting point should be to help others. In order to help others, you need to help yourself first. They're saying that what generally happens, according to their theory, is that you're starting to help yourself And then eventually that'll expand to love others as well. Okay, so if you just, you could read the rest on your own. I'm going to have to run out to do the carnival in a minute. So he quotes here, he quotes Martin Buber, the I-Thou relationship, which maybe we'll go into in terms of how that plays out in some of the Jewish sources. He quotes Abraham Maslow, the beloved people can be incorporated into the self. So you're basically, again, it's a self-expansion. You're expanding yourself to include others. And he gives just here the three self-expansion models summarized with the 1, 2, 3. So people seek to expand the self. One way they seek to do so is by attempting to include others in the self through close relationships. 3, people seek situations and experiences that have become associated with experiences of expansion of the self. So now you're going to want to do things that get you that feeling. It's like an addicted feeling. You want to expand the self even more. So you're going to do good acts towards other people. You're going to do fun acts with people you love, because then that increases your shared vision of yourself as including that other person. Okay, so what? Just to recap, we're going to recap in 3 words. No, that doesn't make any sense. We're going to recap in, I don't know how many words. Im ein ani li mi li. That's myself, right? That's myself. But my expansion is kshani la'atzmi ma'ani. Okay? That's the whole point. I start with myself. This is Rav Shimshkov's point. I start with myself, love of myself. I have to take care of myself. But if I only care about myself, and I only define myself through me, what's the point? I need to expand my self-definition of what me is to include family, to include God, to include all of Bnei Yisrael, to include all of humanity. And then my goal in life is to help others. By helping myself, I am actually helping others also. Because everything I do for myself is in order to help others, and that's the concept of Kedoshim to you. Be holy. What does be holy mean? Do everything for other people. Maybe you'll think, what's the Hava mean? Maybe I'll think that you can be just as holy as God. God's whole purpose in existence is to do good for others. No. You have to take care of yourself. You come first. So you have to have the imein anili mili. But your goal, your purpose is still to expand yourself to help others as well. What we're going to do next week we have a siyum, right? Next week the Laser and Barry Panz, Dr. Panzer, and Rabbi
Bornstein
are making a siyum on Sefer HaChinuch. They've been doing it for four years.
4 years already?
4 years, yeah. It's been 4 years, the Base Medrash program. Thanks to Jake and Karen. They started 4 years ago. I remember.
They started from the beginning with him? Did you do something else for
us? It's basically been three and a half, 4 years. They finished all 613 mitzvot in the Sefer HaChinuch. So they're going to be making a siyum next week after davening at the beginning of this year. And what I'm thinking, and I will, there's going to be bagels, lox, and all that stuff. Yeah? Okay, so there's going to be bagels and lox. So we're going to flip this into a lox and learn. What I'm thinking, I have to get permission from everybody, all the people involved, is that maybe we'll make it into a siyum / shir, and that this shir on Vahavta L'Recha Kamocha will focus on the Sefer HaChinuch. Because the Sefer HaChinuch has a whole analysis of this mitzvah, Vahavta L'Recha Kamocha. So maybe as... So, okay, good. So maybe that's what we'll do, is that it's not in the order of how I would have done it otherwise in terms of what we would have done next week if the siyum wasn't there. But since we're having the siyum, we'll adapt the shir to be a siyum, to be a shir on V'hatu Recha Kamocha in the context of the Sefer HaChinuch.
What is Sefer HaChinuch?
Sefer HaChinuch is, we have an English copy back there. It's a 5-volume set in English. They have the Hebrew, it's a 1-volume. It's a work done by a medieval author who's anonymous, we're not sure who he is, went through all 613 mitzvos and explained them in detail to his son. So it gives the background to a lot of mitzvos, he suggests reasons to a lot of mitzvos. It's a fascinating work, and it's a very important work because it goes through all of the mitzvos.
In the order of the Parsha.
So he starts in Bereishis and he goes all the way through. If the mitzvah is found in the Parsha, then he talks about it. There's works upon works commenting on the Sefer HaChinuch. There's works analyzing differences between the Sefer HaChinuch and other people who count mitzvos, because it was a whole big thing. How do you count mitzvos? We know that there's 613 mitzvos from a Medrash. But what's included in those 613 mitzvos, right? If you go through the Parshios, it doesn't say, this is mitzvah 1, this is mitzvah 2, this is mitzvah 3. You have to go through and see what's considered a mitzvah and what's not, and it's not such a simple task. There's gigantic disputes between lots of different commentaries on what's included in the 613 mitzvos and what's not included in the 613 mitzvos. So, you know, that's a whole... We did a few of those. So, I mean, it's a fascinating topic. So we're going to do... So next week we'll do Vatzarecha Kamocha through the eyes of the Sefer HaChinuch.
Got permission?
We're good?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.